United's in line for takeoff.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A bankruptcy judge says he's ready to give United Airlines the go sign to emerge from Chapter 11 February 1st. The judge said he intends to formally approve United's plan tomorrow. During its 37 months in bankruptcy, United cut more than 25,000 jobs, $7 billion a year in costs. The airline hopes to turn a profit this year for the first time since 2000. Daimler Chrysler's in some hot water, and it's starting to boil over. The carmaker has suspended several managers. They may have been involved in the UN's oil for food scandal. A board member is being investigated for insider trading. And as Amy Scott reports, there are new allegations of bribery.
A German news magazine reports today that for years, Daimler Chrysler paid kickbacks in order to sell cars in Nigeria for twice the listed price. With all these scandals, you'd think drivers might turn away from the brand. Rebecca Lindland is an analyst with research firm Global Insight, which does business with Daimler Chrysler. She says U.S. customers likely won't flinch.
It's a situation that most Americans won't really even necessarily take the time to investigate. It takes a lot to dislodge a buyer from something as high-priced as their car.
But Lindland says Germans take the auto business more seriously, and the scandals could hurt sales in that country. While a spokesman wouldn't comment on the latest bribery allegations, the company says it's cooperating with government investigators. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
You know those written inserts that come with prescription drugs? A lot of small print about side effects, legal disclaimers. Well, the Food and Drug Administration is making some changes to those. They're supposed to make it easier to learn the most critical information and get rid of some of the legalese. The Surgeon General says confusing labels are behind many drug mishaps in this country, but some consumer groups say the FDA's rules override better state laws. Tamiflu is the antiviral drug countries are trying to stockpile in case of bird flu. But the British medical journal The Lancet warns today Tamiflu shouldn't be used unless there's a serious flu epidemic. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH.
Most common illnesses that circulate in winter and cause coughs, sore throats, fevers, and other flu-like symptoms aren't actually the flu. That's why epidemiologist Tom Jefferson says doctors shouldn't prescribe drugs like Tamiflu unless there's a real flu epidemic.
It's more than worthless because the use of these drugs may encourage onset of resistance in these viruses.
Jefferson says analysis of over 50 clinical trials shows these drugs do reduce symptoms but don't prevent flu infection. Overprescribing risks the virus becoming resistant and the drugs have side effects.
Tamiflu causes nausea and also they're costly.
A course of treatment costs about $50. The US is buying nearly $2 billion worth for a stockpile to fight a possible bird flu pandemic. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Intel and Yahoo shares were big losers on Wall Street. The Dow dropped 41 points to 10,854. The S&P 500 index lost 5 to 1277. The Nasdaq fell 23 points. In Japan today, the Nikkei bounced back from a two-day plummet. You're listening to Marketplace. The Winter Olympics are coming up. It's also a year of midterm congressional elections. What could they possibly have in common? Madison Avenue, baby. Here's Andrea Gardner.
2005 wasn't a particularly great year for advertising revenue. Spending on broadcast, print, and web ads was down 2%, analysts said. But they're more optimistic about this year. Ad growth will likely climb 5% worldwide, and that means about $6 billion more in ad sales. Marissa Gluck from Radar Research says you can thank athletes and politicians for the bump.
It's being fueled by two major events that are cyclical but do not happen every year, one being the Olympics and the second being elections. Were it not for these two factors, it probably would not be a particularly good year for advertising in general.
That's due in part to higher gas prices, a struggling American auto industry, and a slowdown in the housing market. I'm Andrea Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Healthcare has become the source of great outrage for many Americans. Companies aren't happy either, and now lawmakers are starting to step in. Maryland's legislature just passed a new law. It requires companies with 10,000 or more workers to spend at least 8% of payroll on health benefits. The only business that qualifies, Walmart. Here's personal finance expert Chris Farrell.
I think Walmart is the company that everybody loves to hate. But what is interesting is that I think this law, even though it was targeted at Walmart in Maryland, could spread to other states. And as the rules get in place, you know, it might not be that hard to sort of change the rules. And I think that's what the group, the Fair Share Healthcare Coalition, which is led by the AFL-CIO, that's what they hope to do in Maryland and elsewhere.
But what's the reason for this in the first place?
Well, what prompted this originally is the healthcare crisis in America. Look, this is a bad law. This is a really bad law. You know, this kind of law just leads to abuses. I mean, there's all kinds of ways Walmart might be able to get around it. It has 53 stores, 17,000 employees in Maryland. All of a sudden, it may have fewer stores. It may reclassify workers. It may have less workers. But what this really reflects is no one is happy with America's healthcare system. It's not just the uninsured. It is the insured are also unhappy. Employers don't like the system. Employees don't like the system. And this is a cry of frustration. But there seems to be nothing coming out of Washington that is really going to grapple with this issue that is affecting every American family.
So how are employers like Walmart reacting to the idea of this law and the possibility of it spreading to other states?
Well, as you can imagine, Walmart's not too happy. But what is intriguing is the reaction of other employers. Now, it may change slightly, but one reason why this became law is that the opposition of employers who offer health care to their employees was muted. There was even some support. So, you know, employers are really aware that they're footing the bill of the uninsured. In the end, it's going to put pressure on Washington to deal for the sixth time in the past century, to deal with the issue of universal health insurance.
You think so? You think that this will be the instigator of getting a national health plan back on the agenda?
Absolutely. I think this is going to be the issue of 2006. Washington doesn't want to deal with it, but it's the issue that really affects people. You want to know why workers don't feel good about this economic recovery? It's because if they have health insurance, which is a good thing, that's why they're not getting a wage increase, because all their wage increase is going to pay for increased health insurance. If they don't have health insurance, they're in trouble. So there's all kinds of issues, and the centerpiece, they all come together with health care.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
In the 20s, smart.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.